Okay. Welcome to A Course in Miracles. So the section we're studying tonight is part of this brilliant affront to the ego called The Obstacles to Peace. You know, aren't you all nice people? Don't you all want to be peaceful? Wouldn't you just assume to be peaceful? And then live a peaceful life. You just choose and then, you know, be peaceful. What's the problem? Right? Here we are. We're 400 pages in. And he says, can we talk? Jesus is talking to you and says, can we talk? You have some obstacles to peace that you are keeping peace away from you. Mm-hmm. And he says, just to put a finer point on it, the first one, the one we're talking about tonight, the first obstacle to peace that you are enacting on you is that you honestly live your life with a desire to get rid of peace when it suits you.
Makes sense.
There are times that you decide it's not proper to be peaceful. I need to attack. We'll talk about peace later. It'll be more peaceful when I'm done attacking and I do a really good job and crush them. Then I'll show you some real peace after I've decimated my enemy. It's true. We live our lives under these conditions. But there's a huge cost to this, of course. Like any drug that you take. Short-term benefit, long-term cost.
Peace. Can we interrupt for just a minute?
Yeah, sure.
So I was thinking last week about our session last week. And somebody was sitting right near me on this side of me, a man, said he was peaceful when he was looking at the ocean on a rock or he was just watching the ocean. So I thought, okay, why is that peaceful? What about that makes it peaceful? And what I realized, for me at least, is that the ocean is huge. It's going to have wave after wave after wave after wave. There's absolutely nothing I can do about it, and my ego can't argue with that. And so I'm not in control. And when I'm not in control, and let whatever be, I'm at peace.
Is that peaceful? Yeah, when I was very young, there was some philosopher, I think it was Hal Boyle.
Yeah.
And he said, as a philosopher, and he says, people love to watch water moving. It's very soothing. Because it always knows where it's going, and it's sure to get there. Yeah, I like watching rivers that way. They're so purposeful. So would God have a purpose for you? God have a purpose for you in your existence as you wind your way through this world, like it does for the ocean, for the river? Would God have a purpose for you? You know, maybe, have you ever thought about that? Is this just a random experiment? We'll see what's going on after it happens, and then we'll decide whether life is good or bad.
I personally kind of let go of any pursuit of purpose.
Uh-huh.
Like,
I'm with you. I'm crazy. Uh-huh.
Like, so I feel like the universe is expanding, right?
Okay.
It's like it's a whatever, the Big Bang, it's expanding. So the purpose of the universe is to expand.
Uh-huh.
So, therefore, my purpose is simply to expand.
Uh-huh.
No particular goal, no particular...
Uh-huh. No particular way to expand?
No particular, you know, bar measurement, per se.
Yeah.
But just to continuously try and expand as a person and be... more of whoever I am.
What's the opposite of expand in this discussion?
Give up.
Contract.
Give up, contract, but give up, really.
basically.
You will continue to expand. You will participate.
I will continue
to plan to expand.
I will put my head down. I will go against the wind. I will climb up the hill. I will take a risk. As long as it feels like it's an authentic expression of who I am and what I'm trying to do.
Without specifics. The minute we try to put specifics, there's some way to
there's
fail.
There's no, like, yeah, there's no finish line. There's no...
Yeah, but you know it when you're doing it, right?
It's and as soon as your there becomes a here, there'll be another there. You know?
Giving up is obviously not expanding. Contraction
not,
is
not even trying. Like,
it's
yeah.
so clear.
Well, it's a being thing, not a doing thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it doesn't matter what you're doing, but you know, occasionally you just have the experience of being trued up to yourself.
It keeps the pressure on to try, you know, to do things, to
try.
Do stuff and, you know, make effort. But then
make
it also
effort.
Takes some pressure off in the sense of you're not trying to accomplish some particular monetary figure or particular status level of, you know, acceptance or whatever. So if the universe is simply expanding, I think maybe our purpose might simply be to expand authentically.
I have an idea of what my purpose is.
Okay, all right, what is it?
My purpose, I'm a creation of God, and I think I'm an expression of God, and I think God wants to understand what kind of expression it can create through me, and my purpose is to become conscious of myself as a creation.
And don't stand in the way, I imagine?
Don't stand in the way, of course.
He's not going to stand in the way. You know what it feels like to stand in the way, right?
Probably.
Yeah, it's very contracted.
Or to get like totally off. Or like totally like off course. Like I think it's like really easy to get sucked into like, oh, I've got this job, so this is my purpose now, and I'm going to do this. But that's like maybe, maybe it is, but maybe it's not.
And there's a not. I would have to say trust goes away for you to have the idea to expand without knowing exactly what expansion looks like. You're going to have a lot of trust. You'll have to say, well, I guess this is how expanding looks today, even though I just got a pay cut.
And you've got to be able to not hang on to the things of this world that are that you think are important to you. You have to have faith to be able to let go.
Expect
that there's going to be something on the other side better.
The expansion doesn't fit in the old container. That's how you know you've expanded, is when you can't quite go back to where you were even yesterday. Oh, this is what expansion looks like today. Yes, there's a renewing effect going on there. Not holding on to the past, trust. Yes.
I think it has to be done unconsciously, though. That's the only thing I would add, is I could do all kinds of things unconsciously.
Yep.
But if it's not conscious, though, I'm not doing my purposes.
Well, you know, the being too conscious about it starts to put a picture on it, what it should look like.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't mean conscious of what it's going to look like. I mean conscious that it's happening.
A willingness. A constant willingness. Open-mindedness. That's good. That's where you might have reminded yourself, this is what expansion looks like today. No matter what happens, this is what expansion looks like today. It's good.
So it's not really about the situation or the circumstances that present themselves.
Yes.
Because if you look at, like Jesus had a particular path and everything that presented itself to him, including being nailed to a cross. Was the opportunity for him to be an expression of the love of God. So ours is no different. It makes no difference what we're doing.
Yes.
Just who are we being in the midst of that? And are we, you know, every challenge that presents itself, you know, once in a while I can think of a numerous professional situations where, number one, I would take it personally. If something was off or someone was in argument or someone wasn't on board or whatever the situation was. And then I'd get pissed off and angry and controlling and make up a story about it and the whole thing. And then there are other occasions when I would, in retrospect, look back and recognize how much peace I had in the midst of chaos. And for me, that would be not necessarily like a measure, but like a milestone in a way that then okay. Mm-hmm. So I got to the point where people would joke with me, but I don't know how you deal with all this. I said, bring it on. It's not a big deal. Uh-huh. And that, and on those occasions, even in retrospect, if there is a measure or a way to see where you are in the scheme of things, yeah. It's to reflect and go, I really could not have handled that any better than I did.
Uh-huh.
And there was a time when I would have been a total bastard about it.
It's right. There's a difference now. When you've got the right thinking mind on, or the larger perspective, now the small details of the world will all fit one way or the other. Because it sounds like this. Oh, you know, snap, something happens. This is what expansion looks like today. Let me deal with it. Bring it on. My other favorite phrase is bring it on. When you say bring it on, you really are in a high trust mode, an awareness that you have of all the things that you really want. They're all present. Even though there may be material lack going on, this is not the goal. Whatever it is the material could have provided. Let's take a few moments and let's think about, is there something provided whether you want it or not from God? I just want you to think about that. Open your mind a little bit. The will of God. And I'm going to ask, I'll tell you right now what I'm going to ask you at the end of the meditation. I'm going to ask you to think of a word or a phrase, something that you would consider might be a component of the will of God. Just let your mind relax for some minutes and then just choose a word or phrase that you might share with the group that you would consider to be included in the will of God. Take a deep breath. Prepare to open your mind. Take a journey now with your Holy Spirit, the part of your mind that remains connected to the truth and is patiently waiting right next to you always to whisper in your ear the very next highest thought that you can afford if you would just be still and listen. Prepare to be still and listen now. Become conscious of your willingness to be still now and to listen now. For a very still, small voice that is your Holy Spirit and that is always waiting patiently to whisper to you the truth, the next truth that you can afford to hear. How gracious is that? The very next one is waiting for you to be still and listen. Listen to the truth that comes to you as you open your mind. To choose just for you and just for tonight, it's only for now. Maybe forever, but certainly for now. What is one component? What is something that would be included in the will of God? David, what's something you could say, you comfortably say? Should be the will of God.
The will of God is kind of like the curriculum that we're here to, you know, the truth. We're here to figure out what really is true.
So the
and it's the part that you can't make up. It's sitting inside of you in that light.
So the will of God is that you would know the truth.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Kind of like you're going to know the truth.
Huh? Jeffrey.
Two words, trust and surrender, or and that, no, actually, yeah, maybe not in that order. Surrender, then trust.
Would be the will of God to surrender your way and trust the better way.
Yeah.
You're not going to surrender and trust the worse way.
No.
I mean, you hang on to what you got.
That's hanging on, yeah.
You're going to hang on to what you got if it's going to be better than whatever God has.
Yeah.
The will of God is, trust me.
And there's days where that makes sense, I have to admit.
Yeah?
Like, fuck your plan, I'm doing my thing.
Uh-huh. Like, let me attack properly, it'll fix everything. Forget lesson 23. I'm just going to do this. Good. That's good. Kim, what's something that's in the world?
I am the will of God.
Oh. Know thyself. So the will of God is yourself?
It's the I am presence within me that I am. I don't know how else to explain that. It's the Christ mind that I am.
Aha.
The will of God.
Your being.
My body is not the will of God. It has nothing to do with it.
Uh-huh.
It's the I am that I am.
Uh-huh. Yes.
That is the will of God.
Yeah. Yeah. I think of I am, and I vacillate between each word, but together one of those is redundant.
Is what?
Redundant to me. If I am-ness, and then the I is redundant. Or if it's I-ness, the am is redundant. So they don't seem to go together for me when I really get into it.
Yeah, I don't think about it that deeply, I think. I just, to me, I am is right out of the Bible, but it just means being.
Yeah, that's what Stephen was saying, being. It's a being experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the minute, you know, it's like, can I put fewer words on it than I and then am? And it's so, the being is so simple, it's just I.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, will of God is. And then we cease to speak. It's good. Walt.
The phrase that I just immediately sort of came to me was just breathe.
You mean keep it simple, stupid?
Sort of, yeah.
Well, that's, I mean, I like the very presence of that.
Just breathe.
Just be present. I hear trust in that. I hear essential trust in that. Just breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Just breathe.
And there's nothing to...
Nothing more to it.
Nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
Except one of those.
Put one foot in front of the other. Just breathe.
Mm-hmm.
It's all happening. Yeah, I hear that in the trust and the being. And know that I am. The will of God is that you are. And just breathe. If you ever wonder what to do, the will of God is be present. Just breathe. Yeah. I like the obviousness of that too. There's not a secret on what to do now. If you're willing to be in the now, there's never a question of what to do exactly in the now. There's a big question of what to do tomorrow at 3:00.
Mm-hmm.
Can you even be there on time? But not right now. Right now, there's no question. It's a wonderful meditation, by the way. If you haven't done it recently, get into the right now and discover there's nothing you can do right now. It's a wonderful freedom, wonderful, free, simple experience. Just breathe. Stephen.
I would say surrender and love. Surrender being kind of like, to the extent that I would give up my attachment to my own thinking and be willing to be present to God's thinking. Mm-hmm. And I had a moment sitting here in this meditation where, because I've been struggling, as I have for decades, with the whole self-love concept, which I continue to have a hard time with. Mm-hmm. But, you know, God has the... I can't even wrap my head around the extent and the depth and the lack of conditions under which God is a presence of love. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like, but nothing matters. Mm-hmm. No conditions, nothing we can do or be or say would diminish her love for us. Mm-hmm. And us as an expression of that, and a part of the surrender is the opportunity to then be that expression. Mm-hmm. But giving up our own thinking is, I would say, virtually a requirement. Otherwise, it'll either be a pretense mm-hmm. or something inauthentic about it. It'll be wanting to look good or be good or something rather than an authentic expression.
Perhaps it's still an expression of God, wanting to look good and be good and fully an ego. Mm-hmm. And it's being invited. If you notice it, like you described it, it's being invited to take the next step toward more God. An expansion. Even that is God. There's no limit to the love of God, even in your hatred. Even in your fear. There's God looking for love. Yeah. Chica Nueva. What is it?
Suli. Being more natural, like learning or being more like nature, like the wisdom of nature.
Wisdom of nature, mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. How nature is already planned to be what it is, to work. This is a big picture. Mm-hmm. All the pieces in nature work together. The big picture works. The little picture sometimes with the storm or one animal kills another animal. Gravity comes in, causes a problem.
You know, I often wonder if animals and insects and anything other than human beings have an ego.
Yeah.
Or if they just are doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. And
got it.
Because they don't have that side to them. They are all creation, right? They are all everything.
It's working.
I just would love to jump inside of them sometime and feel and know if they have an ego too, or we're the only ones that are
screwed. It seems like some dogs might have egos. Yeah. I've met dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some cats that have egos too.
But your question is, well, they spend time around us.
Could be.
It's a very big, you know, always been a scientific question about lots of animals, whether they are self-conscious. It's a really big deal. And this big deal made news when they put a spot on the back of a dolphin, they put an ink spot on the dolphin, and let the dolphin swim in front of the glassed part of its aquarium, and it would notice the dot and flip around and see if there was one on the other side and flip back around and look at its dot. And they'd move the dot and see if the dolphin would check to see if the dot was on the other side now.
So if they're self-conscious, they must have an ego.
Well, this is the question, right? So they could, and you know, a lot of other animals
don't even notice at all. Doesn't matter. They look in the mirror and they think it's another animal. Completely, you know, it's different levels of consciousness. And I think there's a gradient for sure. But I don't think there's anybody as twisted as a human.
No, I don't think so.
We're looking for spots that aren't there.
Oh yeah,
really twisted. Conscious, self-conscious.
We see the spots that are not there.
We see them too. People tell us we have spots, and we believe them.
Mm-hmm. I have no spot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that. Humans very, very high on that ego scale. That's for sure.
And dolphins may have some self-awareness, but I don't know that I'd characterize it as ego, given that. Well, I guess maybe to some degree they really look out for themselves, but I mean, so many species look out for the group, but mm-hmm. you know, the well-being of the group mm-hmm. is primary to, you know, the well-being of an individual.
I think they do. I think they do have egos, and I think it's all sublimated to the will of the one group. It's all slave to that. Mm-hmm. and if they're doing their job, they've done everything they need to do, and they're part of the oneness of their group.
Mm-hmm. Look at the ants, the sacrificing of the ants, one for the other, mm-hmm. as they help get the job done. They make rafts, and they do all sorts of interesting things to allow the larger ant population to survive and to make its way. Mm-hmm. I think it's all different gradients, but none of them are twisted as humans. Mario. Tell me about the truth.
The presence in the present. Mm. And what I'm looking at is a gift once you find it. And I don't know, it's just like how I'm looking at it, because I'm using my senses, like my sense of smell, taste, look, feel, whatever. Just like when you look at that beach, oh, wait a minute, why don't you step in it and look at it? And get it, mm-hmm. and get a whole different feel of it. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that, you know, I just find if I'm at the present of just being at peace, it reveals everything to me.
So the will of God is to be at peace?
To be at peace.
That you can do that?
I could do that. And being in the present mm-hmm. is the gift. Mm-hmm. And that's how I'm looking at it. And it's just, that's the will of God that I'm looking at.
Nice.
And it just feels so good. It's like, oh, really?
Uh-huh. It lines up. It feels good at that.
Yeah.
When you're affording that. It's good. Go ahead.
Listen to all of this and I'm thinking, wow, because it's not what came up for me at all.
Good.
And what came up for me, I didn't feel like it was very, what's the word, very philosophical.
Okay.
And I don't even know why, but I checked it out, and it's exactly what I'm supposed to.
And it's just for tonight anyway, potentially.
Yeah.
So what came up for me is, the will of God is for me to stay awake to all the miracles that are going on, mm-hmm. so that I can be convinced that I can trust God in all ways.
Nice! What a wonderful invitation to return to God. I think that's beautiful.
And I'm doing the lessons a little bit, reading the first part like you told me to. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I read that really struck home was that miracles, big or small, are all the same. Yeah. And I had a miracle today mm-hmm. that was so tiny, but I caught it. Mm-hmm. And I felt so good about myself that I caught this miracle.
Excellent. Good.
And it was that I hadn't had a cup of coffee. My client was coming in the gate, and I needed to go and put the coffee together. And I heard her through the front door say, oh, I don't remember whether or not my dogs were barking at her. I don't remember whether I locked my car or not. I need to go back out and check it. They gave me enough time to go get my cup of coffee. And I thought, that's a miracle. I needed another 2 minutes, and I got another 2 minutes.
You got bigger miracles coming, ladies.
Oh, I've had some really big miracles, but those are easy to remember. I'm talking about when I'm trying to stay conscious to everything that's a miracle.
Okay, good.
And what that would be what the purpose for me of that is to recognize the presence of God within myself at all times.
Mm-hmm. Even when it's time to make coffee. Even you will be allowed to make coffee.
Yes.
Exactly. John?
So the question is what now?
The question is, what's something that you would consider to be the will of God? Just peace or whole or what? What might be the will of God to you?
Inspiration. You know, where out of nowhere you get a...
Out of nowhere.
You get some sort of a suggestion.
Yes.
Strong suggestion, which,
yes,
which really means, I believe the will of God, of course, would be the Holy Spirit within us, guiding us.
Yes.
And that will,
yes,
if accomplished, yes, brings us back to God.
Yes.
So that's...
Nice. Not alone. You're not alone. There's inspiration waiting.
Mm-hmm. There's endless inspiration.
Yes. Excellent. That will keep you out of being alone and separate, where you have to do it all yourself. That's the hard way, which will not work.
Yeah.
Good.
And once you're accessed with the Holy Spirit, it's all over.
Yes. Excellent.
Beautiful.
Everybody turn to page 408. 408, chapter 19, front of the book.
Oh gosh, he's flipped a page since I've been gone.
We've been racing along here, Kim.
God dang it, what did I miss?
Why don't you talk about pee?
Oh, okay, no big deal.
408?
Yep, 408, paragraph 3. And, are you there? You there, David?
Yeah. Paragraph 3?
Paragraph 3, please.
The Holy Spirit's purpose rests in peace within you, yet you are still unwilling to let it join you wholly. You still oppose the will of God just by a little. And that little is a limit you would place upon the whole. God's will is one, not many. He has no opposition, for there is none beside it. What you still contain behind your little barrier and keep separate from your brother seems mightier than the universe, for it would hold back the universe and its creator. The little wall would hide the purpose of heaven and keep it from heaven.
Okay. And so the first sentence is what this is all about. It says, the Holy Spirit's purpose rests in peace within you. As we've discussed in the will of God, peace came up. That there is some purpose you have kind of came up. It's up to me if I would like to receive the gifts of God, then I can. So look at this. The Holy Spirit's purpose rests in peace within you. Okay, now, here's what, of course, is wonderfully practical. Yet, you are still unwilling to let the Holy Spirit's purpose, the peace within you, join you wholly. In other words, to really follow, to really show up and manifest the will of God. We're not quite, we have some other ideas. You still oppose the will of God just by a little. It's an all or nothing game. This Course in Miracles and your spiritual awakening is an all or nothing game. You can visit peace, you can visit happiness, but you will not own it until you surrender to its truth.
Well, because we are creators and we have created this ego that we are,
yes, yes,
we don't believe that God is stronger than the ego that we have created. And so it is very difficult for us to let go of that and just and be free and just trust in God,
nice,
that God is bigger than this thing that we create.
Excellent. Excellently said. It ties in many of the things we heard. The power of nature, trusting nature as a whole, not just a little piece, trusting that there is a that there is an inspiration that is waiting to work with you at any time. Yes, this.
And I think God is very, very patient, and God's will is that we just keep seeking that truth that God is bigger than we believe God to be.
Yeah.
And it is, I think for me, it's in letting go, it's in taking these little steps of letting go of these things of the past and the things that we're afraid to let go of, to find out that there's something on the other side, and it's those little things one by one that give us the courage to know that we can let go of something bigger the next time and bigger the next time. It just doesn't happen overnight. It takes a whole lifetime of letting go and trusting and forgiving when we can't, because we can't let go of this thing that we've created.
Yes. And letting go into the bigger arms of God.
Yes.
Letting go into the bigger experience of nature, from the small experience.
Yes.
Letting go and trusting that the little thing that I made is solid as it may be, or as much as I'm trying to make it work.
It's so hard to let go of what we created because, you know, we're...
It would take a miracle.
It would.
For you to raise from your head from the small little focus to the truth that even what you created is held in the context of truth.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It all is.
That would really take an opening of your mind.
Was the game of chess created by that concept?
Are you a chess player?
Yes, I am. Because the thing is that, you know, depending on what attitude I come in with, watch it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and it's really interesting because the way it's set up, you know, with black and white, you know, the way it's darkness and light, you know, depending on how you come in with it. I don't know. I'm just kind of looking at it.
In Kim's analogy, the smallness is not to be regarded as the whole. The part is not the whole. In any one game of chess, as good as it is, or as bad as it is, sorry substitute for the whole of chess. You will not touch the brilliance of that game in any one game. You play two or three games, you just might open your mind a little more. Mm-hmm. When you find out that there's 6.8 quintillion possible moves. But open your mind a little more. Yeah. The part, the little game, the one game, the one, your ego, Kim's little idea of what's right and wrong in Kim's little life is not a representation. Like any one game of chess is not a representation of all of the balance that is in that game. You've played it for a while? The balance has been worked in so that, for example, tic-tac-toe does not have balance. It becomes a draw. Mm-hmm. After you've played it a handful of times, that's it. It's all going to end the same way, unless you make some racket mistake. Right? You can make a lot of mistakes with chess, and there's still the ability to balance back out. Mm-hmm. There's no big killer move in chess that wins it every time. Mm-hmm. Neither is there with life. But the point is, you respect the big picture when you recognize how balanced it is. Mm-hmm. And that the part is, it's made within the whole. Mm-hmm. It's nice, Kim. It's very good. Good. Beautiful, Kim. Beautiful. You still oppose the will of God just by a little with your ideas. That's good. Sentence 4. And that little is a limit that you place upon the whole. Nicely said, Kim. Because as long as you're focusing on your little life, you're not seeing the bigger picture. You're blocking the inspiration, the ability to see the larger picture of nature. If you're just focusing on this one terrible event, one animal killed the other, deprived now a family of its mother. Where's God in that? Isn't that nature? Doesn't nature do that? You need some trust. You need some miracle to see beyond that horrible tragedy. But the whole gives you that. Mm-hmm. The ability to raise your eyes off of the small into the whole. Yeah, beautiful.
And the whole gives us that being able to look back and see that we don't know why we're going through that particular experience at that particular time that seems to be so difficult.
Yes.
We don't know why that is. It
yes.
could be our interaction with yeah. each other is for each other, not just for ourselves. So I'm yes. having this particular bad experience. It may not have anything to do with me, but I'm being used for
yes.
Jeff's awareness of, that he needs to have.
Yeah.
You know, we just affected each
this
other
This is what
somehow.
Jeff's expansion looks like today.
And it doesn't feel great, but I'm being used for that. Or I believe I deserve to be in this uncomfortable experience because I've got to get to some other level. I don't know what it is,
mm-hmm.
but it's all part of the whole big chess game. You know,
yes.
we all just mm-hmm. interact with each other as these... I don't know chess, but I'm just guessing, you know. It's all yeah. part of the whole
yeah.
expansion of...
Yes.
I'm in a mood tonight. I haven't been here in a while. So,
we
did sorry.
Well. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Good. It's good. Okay, now ready? Next sentence. This is sentence 5. God's will is one, not many. We're putting our finger right in the face of separation and the experience of differences. God's will is one, not many. It's really helpful to understand that from the larger perspective, it all works. I love your nature example.
Mm-hmm.
From the larger perspective, everything is understandable. And from the really detailed, larger perspective, everything's even predictable.
Mm-hmm.
It's all one earth. It's all one earth that has a moon. We've got to include that now. And the moon pulls on the ocean, and the ocean is a huge mass that causes the ripples on the surface, and then you get earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one system, and they're pretty regular. We're now in this 33-year cycle with earthquakes. You read about that in the newspaper.
Yeah, and it's only when we get down under the magnifying glass and we start looking at all the little people down on the earth
yeah. Yeah.
that it starts to get really, really, yeah, confusing.
Yeah.
But you're right. When you look from such a big expansion of
yeah.
a big view of everything,
yes.
it's much more clear.
Yes. Doing what it does.
Mm-hmm.
Again. Yes. And it's one event. The will of God, the will of planet, is roughly round. The will of this planet is mostly water on the surface. And the will of this planet, solar system, is sun half the time and then dark the other half. When you mix it all together, you get all sorts of weather and hot, cold, and heating. It's one, the will of that, even though it has these pieces that we can look at, they all work as one.
I always had this concept that we were in this body, and we're just, I don't know, it's really weird how I see things sometimes. The way it's designed with all these different planets, I think we're in something bigger than what we think we are, and it's really yeah. kind of really interesting. And it's just like,
yeah.
I don't know.
It was very helpful for me to look at the beach. You know, I'd have these kind of thoughts, and you take a single grain of sand off of the Santa Cruz beach down there, and if you take that home and you put it in your closet. Where is the Santa Cruz beach now? There is a Santa Cruz beach, right? And part of it's in your closet.
Hello.
It's still the beach! And that part, that piece, although it didn't seem to disturb the whole beach much, you know in particular that the beach now extends to your closet. It's still one beach. And that clock kind of helped me wrap together this whole oneness despite all the apparent pieces. The oneness is very, very simple. God's will is one. God's will is one. And that's important when we start talking about the metaphysics of A Course in Miracles, and that, you know, or dualism in the East, or, you know, Advaita in the East still. One and two, and not two. One, despite the appearance of two or many. This concept is the essence of embracing the big atonement. Or break the word up at one meant. Making one in your mind. Allowing, affording that there's one instead of this obvious differences that are proven all day long. I mean, this is a real mind bender to get really honest with this concept of one. God's will is one. If God's will were two, then we'd have to have two gods. And maybe that's okay for you. The Hindus do it with a bazillion gods, and they work their way up eventually back to oneness. But the mind, human mind, has a hard time embracing the idea of one. It really is beyond what the human is designed to be and how the human is designed to be. Which is why I think it's very helpful to come to a room like this with a bunch of people willing to talk crazy sentences like I am right now, to help us explore in our minds, deep in our minds, to our heart, whether or not this oneness is the truth worth pursuing. Is there some value in the idea of seeing the one?
Well, there's very few people that have ever existed that have been able to reach that level of seeing just the one. Jesus was one of them. Mm-hmm. Maybe there were a couple others.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he was really the only one that knew that could see that in everyone.
Yes. And he's teaching us that we are, you said, wasn't yours saying you are the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
That there, we are that oneness.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you are. And the Course says, it says the one thing that you cannot deny is what you are.
And,
even though you've forgotten it.
And even though Jesus knew that we were all one, it's not to say he wasn't tempted.
Yes, yes.
So he still had the same struggles that we did.
He would have to in order to be a teacher that can
in
reach
order
us.
To be a human being, yeah. So God knows we have struggles that we don't have total.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody here can.
Yeah.
Which is comforting.
Yeah. Could it even be natural? Yeah. Struggles are natural.
Mm-hmm.
Nature struggles.
Mm-hmm.
It's natural.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it could be trusted. That's what expansion looks like today. Okay? Six. It has no opposition, and there's none beside it. Which you would still contain behind your little barrier and keep separate from your brother seems mightier than the universe. That was what Kim was talking about. Your little ideas seem bigger and more powerful than the universe itself. For it would hold back the universe and its creator with a capital C. This little wall, being your body, your ideas, your life, would hide the purpose of heaven and keep it from heaven. Keep it from heaven, your whole experience.
Yeah, beautiful.
Jeff, you ready through paragraph four?
Paragraph four. When you thrust salvation away from the giver of salvation, would you thrust salvation away from the giver of salvation? For such have you come. Peace could no more depart from you than from God. Fear not this little obstacle. It cannot contain the will of God. Peace will flow across it and join you without hindrance. Salvation cannot be withheld from you. It is your purpose. You cannot choose apart from this. You have no purpose apart from your brother, nor apart from the one you asked the Holy Spirit to share it with you. The little wall will fall away so quickly, quietly, beneath the wings of peace. For peace will send its messages from you all over the world, and barriers will fall away before their coming as easily that you interpose will be surmounted.
Yeah, as easily as those little barriers that you interpose, it will be surmounted. Yeah, you can't stop it. You can't stop the rain.
Nature. When it starts raining, go put your hands out. Oh, not yet. Come back in an hour when I get the cover on the car. What? Forget it. Rain is here. Yes. Yes. This is a little entry into the idea of the one of these big multi-syllable words, salvation. Let's go look at that for a minute. Keep your finger here. We'll come back here. And turn to the back of the book. It is only going to be about a half an inch in the back of the book to page 407 in the back. The numbers restart, you know. And take a look. Let's read through this. Kim, when you get there, as you read paragraph one? Mm-hmm. This section called What is Salvation?
What is salvation? Salvation is a promise made by God that you would find your way to Him at last. It cannot but be kept.
That sounds like will. God's will.
Okay. It guarantees that time will have an end, and all the thoughts that have been born in time will end as well. God's word is given every mind which thinks that it has separate thoughts, and will replace those thoughts of conflict with thoughts of peace. Mm-hmm. With the thought of peace.
When you're ready, Walt.
The thought of peace was given to God's Son the instant that his mind had thought of war. There was no need for such a thought before, for peace was given without opposite and merely was. But when the mind is split, there is a need of healing. So the thought that has the power to heal the split became part of every fragment of the mind that still was one, mm-hmm. but failed to recognize its oneness. Mm-hmm. Now it did not know itself, and thought its own identity was lost.
Isn't that beautiful? The thought of peace was given to God's Son the instant that his mind had thought of war. There's no need. There was no need before. And so sentence four says, so the thought, capital T, the thought that has the power to heal the split became instantly right in the need, an instant moment of need, a part of every fragment of the mind still was one. I failed to recognize one. What is this thought that has the power to heal the split? Anybody? What are we talking about here?
Love.
Right? The Holy Spirit? Love? Mm-hmm. The miracle? The Holy Spirit's job is to show you how love is present, and the miracle is the ability to actually have the shift from the problem to the solution, that the nature is not actually falling apart. Even the one eating the other, well, the one that ate is going to have children and kids and little more tigers. the shift in perception is the miracle. This thought is the thought in your mind that was introduced in that very moment that it was needed. Yeah. It's love, it's miracle, it's Holy Spirit, it's atonement. But this is A Course in Miracles. And this is all the ability for your mind to be open to the truth. Call it what you will, but it is the thought of atonement. And we use the Holy Spirit to get there. It's going to come out. It's going to come through a miracle. It's going to be very loving. You're going to use forgiveness in order to actually use this thought that was given to you of the atonement, oneness. And now it becomes a wonderful orchestra or a song of forgiveness, love, miracle, holy instant, holy brother, right thinking. All of these things, as you work your way through Course in Miracles, become manifestations of this one thought that leads to the one healing. And that's the atonement. Yeah. Good? Good.
Beautiful.
Let's continue.
Salvation is undoing in the sense that it does nothing, failing to support the world of dreams and malice. Thus it lets illusions go. By not supporting them, it merely lets them quietly go down to dust. And what they hid is now revealed, an altar to the holy name of God, whereon His word is written, with the gifts of your forgiveness laid before it, and the memory of God not far behind.
Salvation is the undoing, in a sense, well, that it does nothing. Undoing, not doing, like don't do. Stop doing. It does for maybe the first time in your life that your salvation is that meditation we talked about in the beginning where you just get still. You get still. You choose to do nothing for the first time maybe in your whole life to really get still and just enjoy this present moment. Wow, can there be a spiritual awakening in that moment to find out how full you are, but you're trying to be empty? This Course in Miracles is not a doing. It's an undoing. It's an undoing of all your stinking thinking. All your wrong thinking. Yes, we're going to pry it out of your mind. One lesson. 365 lessons in here. One for each day of the year. We're going to use those lessons to remove the wrong thinking that just trips you up from feeling the love and experiencing the miracle. We're going to catch them one day at a time, scrub them out of your head, and we'll bring you peace. From that peace grows everything you ever wanted. Good. That's salvation, folks. Absolutely. It's beautiful. Let's do the next one.
Let us come daily to this holy place and spend a while together. Here we share our final dream. It is a dream in which there is no sorrow, for it holds a hint of all the glory given us by God. The grass is pushing through the soil, the trees are budding now, and birds have come to live within their branches. Earth is being born again in new perspective. Night has gone, and we have come together in the light.
Perfect paragraph for the wow. One who's talking about nature. Beautiful. Yeah. There's another place where it talks this poetic way about nature. Keep your finger here. So now I'm using two fingers of yours. And switch to page 561 in the text in the front. 561. And it's just beautiful because it talks poetically about this rebirth. This life being seen differently.
It was actually, you were actually looking at heaven there.
Right? That's right, Mario.
Hello.
Very good. We'll read about heaven in 561, paragraph 3. Are you there, Mario?
No. 561.
561.
Oh, 61. Okay. Paragraph 3.
Yep.
5:16, paragraph 3. Unfairness.
Wait, starts with the blood. 561, paragraph 3.
561, paragraph 3.
The blood
of hatred fades to let the grass grow green again.
See, this is a shift. This is an absolute change in priorities. This is what it's like after the miracle. You know, what kept hatred working, the blood of hatred, surrendered. Surrendered. I heard surrender a couple of times today. Please continue.
The blood of hatred fades to let the grass grow green again and let the flowers be all white and sparkling in the summer sun. What was a place of death has now become a living temple in a world of life. Because of them, it is their presence which has lifted holiness again to take its ancient place upon an ancient throne. Because of them have miracles sprung up as grass and flowers on the barren ground that hate had scorched and rendered desolate. What hate has wrought have they undone.
And the capital T, they, like in A Course in Miracles, it just means divine. It's the divine characters. It's, and this gets God in the face of Christ. This is God in your understanding, seeing God in the differences. You can see the oneness now. And so the, so that's the they here. They, they're coming together. Your perception of the oneness. Please continue.
They end up. And now ye stand on ground so holy heaven leans to join with it and make it like itself. The shadow of an ancient hate has gone, and all the blight and the withering have passed forever from the land where they have come.
Beautiful. Yes. Wow. Reborn through your perception. Heaven.
Yeah.
Is right seeing. Mario. Perfect. Good. Good. Okay. Let's flip back to 407 in the back of the book. And let's catch this last wonderful paragraph. Luann, whenever you're ready.
You're talking about five?
Yep, very good.
From here we give salvation to the world, for it is here salvation was received.
And that's just what we're talking about with this model of rebirth we just read. Hi, Julie. And this is salvation of the world now. Because we're seeing the world through right-mindedness, through the face of Christ and the memory of God. That means that our perception is shifted to a healed perception, a healed perspective. The unhealed perspective only sees nature struggling and dying in a tragic way that does not serve the whole. That's small thinking. Separate thinking, that my little way must work, is a fractured existence that will struggle. Now open it up to the bigger picture to include the trust that we're talking about, the will of God. This is our word tonight, is a phrase, is what is the will of God. To open up to that trust, now you can afford to start seeing something working peacefully rather than violently. I mean, we're talking about a real change of how you see everything from the core. It, you're going to need a miracle to get this. But that's what we're here for.
Well, you know what? Salvation, it kind of, it's splattering here, saying like it's spirit.
Spirit, indeed. Spirit of the truth.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yep. Salvation is spirit.
Yes.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm getting.
Like John said, the will of God is inspiration. You will have inspiration if you open your mind to it. It's there. That's what John said. Yes. Good. Please continue.
The song of our rejoicing is the call to all the world that freedom is returned. The time is almost over, and God's Son has but an instant more to wait until his Father is remembered. Dreams are done. Eternity has shined away the world, and only heaven now exists at all.
Mm-hmm. That's the healed mind. And it's a perspective. It's a perspective of what you see now, but from a corrected perspective. Peace comes with understanding. Okay? All right. So, we are talking about the thought of peace that you instantly inherited the minute you thought of war, the minute you separated, the exact instant this thought of peace was born and given. This thought we talked about, this amorphous, whether it's salvation or love or miracle, however you want to phrase it, this one thought was present and it remains present. And it has a correcting effect anytime it's applied. This thought with a capital T. You're always only one thought away from P. and the peace that applying this thought would bring. Now, you may need a miracle. You may need a guide. You may need to practice forgiveness. Forgiveness means releasing the old way of thinking. You may need to do that a few times so that you can receive the peace that comes with the miracle. This is what we call salvation. That you can do this. You will do this. Nobody else will do this. Look at text 346. Let's talk about salvation a little bit more here. Three forty-seven, paragraph 10.
In the front of the back.
In the front. Thank you. In the text. Yeah. Okay. This is a section called "The Bridge to the Real World." John, you read that for us, paragraph 10.
Sure. Be glad you have escaped the mockery of salvation the ego offered you, and look not back with longing on the travesty it made of your relationship. Now no one needs suffer, for you have come too far to yield to the illusion of the beautiful and holiness of guilt.
Of guilt.
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 Only the holy and sane could look on death and suffering, sickness and despair, and see it thus. What guilt has wrought is ugly, fearful, and very dangerous. See no illusion of truth and beauty there, and be you thankful that there is a place where truth and beauty wait for you. Go on to meet them gladly and learn how much awaits you for the simple willingness to give up nothing because it is nothing.
This is what powers the miracle of saving the world, is that you see that what you cherished was really nothing. Or as Tim was describing, it's just too small to be held on to. That's freedom. To let go, even as close and as near and dear to your little hands as it may be, bigger perspective is salvation.
Okay. That's beautiful. I just found something in here.
Yes?
I found, remember when I was telling you I took that anger management class?
Yes.
To get past my guilt?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you, it's just explaining it right here. I think we're so guilty about our own selves that we can't let go of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there is an attraction to that guilt, isn't there? Mario?
Yep.
And we need to defend the guilt.
We even defend it.
Yes.
Justify it.
Yes, we have to justify it, yes.
Even our own guilt?
Mm. Yeah, well, we created it.
And when David here is guilty, and you know it, I don't mind holding it over him. I kind of like the power that I catch him guilty for hurting me or you, especially when he admits it, and now it's just done. I got him forever.
Because it makes us feel better when somebody else
I didn't
guilty.
Do it.
Yeah.
I would never do something like that. But
then I'm not accountable for my own guilt. If they're guilty, then I don't have to worry about my guilt.
Except the exact opposite is
yes,
true.
Yes, I know.
If he has to worry about his guilt, you have to worry about yours now.
Yes.
Because you're holding it against him the same way Jeff would hold it against you if he knew what you did that you ever told anybody. Guilt, very expensive.
Yeah.
But yet I like it when somebody else is guilty and I'm not. I like it. Or, when I'm guilty and I'm willing to admit it, let me show you how honest and fair I am. I will now admit to you that I did it. Okay? All right? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm guilty. I did that.
You're guilty for holding on to it.
Yeah, and I like to put that chip on the table, and I would like to purchase now your forgiveness, please. I would like, I don't know, for the word, it's okay, please. I'm guilty. I hope I didn't hurt you too much. I'm so sorry. But you're like saying, oh, it's okay, Andrew, get over it. I'm going to buy my forgiveness from you with my guilt. Show you how meager and unattacking self-surrendering I am.
Well, the longer we're in this, on this path of the Course in Miracles, the more apparent that is, yeah, and the more unattractive it
yes
becomes.
Amen, sister.
Both the guilty and the guiltor. You know.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think the dolphins get that deep into the ego. That's out of the blue for you, but
Well, it's interesting because I'm the kind of person that if I do something wrong, I try to prevent that at all costs, and then if it happens, I want to bend over backwards to fix it. And earlier this week, we were hosting full day long interview candidates, like full day long. They're like 6 hour long interviews, starting with breakfast, and I was like supposed to be the breakfast person, only I didn't know it ahead in my calendar for the next day. And I get a call from like one of my colleagues, like, "Hey, Julie, you're supposed to have picked this person up." I mean, I was absolutely mortified because like it's their interview day and this is the way it's starting. And so I was just like, you know, they offered to pick the person up and deliver them to me, and all I had to do was get to the breakfast location, and I was like, "Thank you." But I'm like running through the forest, like, because of campus, and trying to get back to my car. And I'm panting, and I can't breathe, and all this. And then I thought, like, this is already done. Like, not fighting with the inevitable or whatever you said last week. It's like, there's actually nothing I can do to change this right now. Nothing. And I'm like, now I've got myself so worked up I can't breathe. And so I just, like, literally started repeating the lesson in my head as I'm, like, trudging up the ravine. And, and I was just like, what helped is that my... the colleague is actually my former supervisor, and she said, I said, "I will apologize profusely." And she's like, "No, please don't do that. Just, you know, I'll make something up. We'll explain it. It's fine." And it caught me because I wanted to fall into all these old patterns. And so then as I'm running through the forest, I was able to like catch myself further. And it was this kind of beautiful. And so by the time I like actually met the person and said hello, I did, you know, basic apology, and then just tried to roll with it. But I was able to, I would hold that against myself for like weeks in the past, and I was really able to let go of it after about 45 minutes.
You're not going
to
buy anything with it.
Yeah.
Which would make it valuable. Good.
Not a heavy example, but like
it's very particular. I love
good
it.
One. It's a good example.
Yes, we've all been there.
There's a formula we could all apply.
It's trying to make something good out of a bad, right? The ego wants to make something good out of a bad. Let's apologize profusely and show how, you know, honest we are. Get something good out of this. Otherwise, it just sucks. I'm late.
Or how manipulative we are.
How manipulative? Oh,
you know, that's a nasty word.
Exactly. Right. Or you could just forget it. Let it go. Forgive yourself. Get present.
There was absolutely nothing I could
nothing
do to change
do.
It.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Don't try to harvest anything. Don't try to pull something good out of this bad. Just let it go and don't hold anything more than just...
Shit happens.
Shit happens, exactly. Mm-hmm. I love it. Yes. Yes.
You know, I've learned to give thanks to my teachers. And if that was a classroom setting.
Uh-huh. Nice, Mario.
Well, that's how I'm looking at it.
Very nice.
I mean, if it's just...
Yes.
You know, now you know.
Jeff would stand there late as can be, sweating, and saying, well, this is what my expansion looks like today. I'm 15 minutes late.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
But he'd say it with a confidence on his face. He'd say, "I don't know what that means, but good. I'm glad you're okay with it." And he would be, "Yeah, that's good for me." Sorry
Isn't
for
it
you.
Funny, and I'm sure everybody in this room has experienced this, when you have a joke within yourself that you know is totally Course in Miracles and nobody else is going to get it, but it's something like that, you know, and you know
you're not gonna explain
this, this path that we're on, and we can laugh at it, you know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. Okay. All right, back to tonight's reading, which is page 408.
You know, it's funny because the thing is that I've always heard, I grew up with that saying, you'll find God in your suffering. And you'll see the difference.
Yeah. You guys tracking with this? Yeah. And it takes
sorrow to know happiness.
And so, so suffering builds character. Are you trying to tell me?
Well, not exactly, but I guess eventually that you could do the math that way. It is.
I'm sure many people have done the math. I'm sure I've done the math that way.
Yes.
I deserve it, okay?
Yes.
Well, we're brought up in a world that thinks that suffering brings you closer to God, but it's not. And that we're holy when we're suffering, but it's a twisted.
Or at least humble when we're suffering.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
You're talking about the monk that hits himself with the self-flagellation. Is he maximizing that principle? How are we holy when we're suffering?
Because we're suffering and we're somehow closer to God when we're
so humble to suffer.
Yeah,
it's so humble to suffer. I am not worthy, says the devout monk who is prostrating to gain the favor of God by showing how guilty and small.
But if we continue going that direction with spirit in our suffering, he's going to show you something. Oh, thank you. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm in a whole brand new transition right now. You talk about reborn.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there we go.
Really? I could be what?
There we go.
Uh-huh.
Reborn.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. You know what? Thank you for that, classrooms. I mean, this is what brought me here.
Uh-huh.
This is you know, go seek what you're seeking.
Uh-huh.
And basically, I'm rewinding my classroom training. Here I am. This is what I see.
Yes. Your eyes were opened.
Oh.
And there you were reborn. When you started over.
Yeah.
With your eyes open.
Yeah. So I added another R to my name.
Yeah, or Riel.
Mario. But there's no sand on it.
What?
There's no sand on it.
Yeah, you heard that from last week, man.
I'm going with it.
Hey, go with it. Deep.
The wisdom is in the rest of the journey.
What was it?
I don't remember it. And I'd like to remember it so that I can put it in perspective of what's been said since.
Is there something about sadness?
You said the very first sentence you said when to start this part of the conversation.
Yes.
Don't remember it either.
No. Mm. Maybe it'll come back to us. Or we'll say it again and again next week, probably, no doubt. Okay. Now, we're ready to dig back in, and I think we have just enough time. Well, first let me see if we missed anything. Okay, so it's paragraph 4, and would you thrust salvation away from the giver of salvation? Okay, for such have you become. You become the giver of salvation. How does that work? How is it you are the giver of salvation? Well, first of all, I just want to make a little footnote here. You got a job description. In A Course in Miracles.
I have a purpose.
You got a purpose. Mm-hmm. In this very short sentence, does this book describe to you your job and your capability? You have this to give. What is A Course in Miracles talking about when it makes such a bold statement? You are the giver of salvation. I thought salvation is, I get saved. God comes down from heaven, grabs a hold of me, shakes off my clothes, and said, welcome home. Back to heaven. We don't need clothes. That was some twisted thing you had. Oh, this is great. No more laundry. What else is good in heaven?
Wow.
No, this is mind, right? The whole book, A Course in Miracles, is not about form. It's about your mind. Tu mente? Tu mentir?
Mente.
Tu mente.
your mind. About your mind. How is it you're to bring your salvation? Well, guess what? It tells us in more words elsewhere. Keep your finger here. Been a long time since we've been to this page, so gotta give me a second. 587.
Are you sure?
I'm mostly sure. yeah, I'm right. Okay, 587 in the text. This is wonderful chapter 27. And the bottom of the page, just in case you want to see it in print, in black and white, is the secret to salvation. And it's not the whole paragraph I want you to look at, just the first sentence, so I'll read it for you. And it says, here you go, the secret to salvation is but this. Okay? You are doing this unto yourself. Period. That's it? Is that it? Is that the secret to salvation? Mm-hmm. It starts and ends with you? That if you only have problems that you do to you? Really? I mean, I think it's good news. It's a little insulting that I'm doing this. I'm the problem? Is that what you're saying to me?
It's unsettling.
What?
It's unsettling.
It's a little unsettling.
And freeing at the same time.
And at the same time, mm-hmm. It's freeing. If it's true, mm-hmm. I think it's good news. I think you got a chance now. If you're the source of your problems, and you call them your problems, and yet you're the source of your problems, and yet you're the source of your problems, that are what you know personally to be your problems, do you see the circle here?
Mm-hmm. I've been working this thing for the last couple of months, or the last couple of weeks, uh-huh. And whenever it occurs to me to go down this path of I am, uh-huh. ultimately the creator,
yes.
of all I experience.
Yes.
And if I just work that like a mantra,
uh-huh.
it's stunning. Because the first thing that there's layers of it for me. The first thing is how I identify reality gets weak.
Yeah.
It's not cars, trees, whatever. It uh-huh. it just all is one thing without any identification.
Uh-huh.
Then the double-edged sword is when I kind of look at then everything, how I judge myself to be is all of my own making.
Of your own making.
You're doing it alone. Mm-hmm. You're not doing it with...
Right.
Well, and you're believing it.
Yes.
Lesson number two, I give everything I see all the meaning it has for me.
Yep.
Which is still very real, though. I mean, even though we do it to ourselves, it's as real as if someone else was doing it to us.
It so. Remains real. In other words, effectual. Okay? I think that's what you mean by real. It's like it has effects. If things happen because of what I... Yeah. As long as you buy into it. Yeah. Then it stays yeah. real for as many years as you try to hang on to that.
I'd rather have salvation while I'm watching it.
What?
Well, rather it's just,
you'd rather have salvation.
Well, I'm in it, yes. because salvation is just the gift of what I'm.
And the point tonight is the will of God is your salvation,
amen.
Which yeah. is going to be peace of mind.
Well,
it's going to be you're
midst,
off the hook. Now,
if
on
I'm
the
in
hook.
The midst of something or in hindsight, something that I've judged myself for,
yes.
I'm trying to get a little closer to, in that moment, just sort of, as God would say, it is good.
Uh-huh.
It's my creation.
Yes.
And
yes. This is my expansion today.
Exactly. And without the judgment. The judgment is what I'm going after here.
Excellent. Yeah. Yes, without the judgment and the guilt.
I'm not alone anymore. I already know who's got my back, co-pilot. You know, I mean, it's just, dude, I'm...
Yep, yep. Go silent for a minute and get the inspiration Brother John is talking about. It's always waiting for you. Always waiting for you. Okay. So that sentence, secret salvation is but this, that you are doing this unto yourself. And then he goes on and takes a hammer and he hits the same nail a few times. He says, no matter what the form of the attack, Are we talking about the boss? Are we talking about your job? Are we talking about cancer? Are we talking about your age? Are we talking about your health? Are we talking about the earthquake? Are we talking about that she doesn't call me anymore? No matter what the form of the attack, this still is true. What's true? That you're doing this to yourself. I know you're not listening, so I'm going to say it again. Sentence 3. Look, whoever takes the role of enemy and of attacker, still, this is the truth. What's the truth? That you're doing this to yourself. Wow. Whatever seems to be the cause of any pain and suffering you feel, he's going to take the hammer and hit it again. This still is true. Do you think he means it? He's spending a whole paragraph on this. Oh. And then he busts you and he says, look, you would not react at all. Would have a problem at all with figures in a dream that you knew you were dreaming. And you just watch it happen. Right? Let them be as hateful and as vicious as they may. They, the figures in your dream, they could have no effect on you unless you fail to recognize that it's your dream. You will continue to believe, Jeff, as long as you continue to believe. And it comes from you continuing to believe. It's a belief we're talking about that you are doing continually, again, from you. It's personal.
I like the line that you would not react at all to the figures in the dream if you knew you were dreaming, because I've had very few lucid dreams, but the few that I've had, it's like a playland, and that's what you always describe, like, that this world can be. But yeah, like you can just go flying or whatever in your dreams. It, like when if you are lucid in them, only had a few of them in my life, but I hadn't thought of that before.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Yes, but it's fun and interesting.
So the metaphor is just apt, very apt,
isn't it? Isn't
yeah.
it really?
Yeah.
Brilliant. That's it. That's it. It's perspective. It's perspective. By the way, the next sentence, this single lesson learned will set you free from suffering whatever form it takes. That kind of thing makes me continue to study this book. It's so confident and authoritative. And it also says, I know you're suffering. There's a way out. I'll write a whole book about it for you. I'll put in 365 lessons and we'll take you day by day for a whole year and try to get you to receive the peace I'm promising is yours. How's that sound? I'll even tell you during the day what to do. Thanks. That's what I say. God, okay. Okay, I'm in. Now, there's no richer book on the planet. I just can't believe how much. That's why we continue now. You know, for so many years to study the same book. We come here to the book club and we only read one book over and over again. Wow! God, what a book! Thank you. Thank you for this rich gift, I say. Okay, so that's a taste on salvation. And so let's go back to page 408. We have only a couple of minutes, so we're going to finish up here. Now, this gets right into what we were talking about this weekend. Okay. Now, so first of all, you are the giver of salvation, because we know why. It's you that are doing this, right? You change your mind, you change your life, and then you can save yourself with your changed thoughts. Okay? Now, peace could no more depart from you than from God. He says it confidently, knowing that you are doing this to yourself. The only reason why you don't have peace is because you decided not to be peaceful and chase some other ragged goal that hurts. That's why. He says, I can prove it. I will prove it if you do the lessons. I will take your horrible day that you're having, and in lesson 34, I will just have you step out of it and discover the power of your mind with lesson 34. I will do it. I promise. Try it. You'll like it. He says, peace can't depart from you. Next one. He says, fear not this little obstacle. It cannot contain the will of God. This little, small thought with a small t. It cannot contain the will of God. Peace will flow across it and join you without hindrance. Salvation cannot be withheld from you. Now we get that, don't we? Fully. He's like silly. He probably said, should I even leave this in the text? That he says, no, because I have to leave. Salvation cannot be withheld from you because you've forgotten that you are the bringer of salvation in your experience. You're the source of the water. Water cannot be withheld from the source of water. The ocean can't be taken away from the ocean, see? Because the ocean is water. Salvation comes from you because you are the block to the awareness of salvation. You are the block and the source of the salvation together in one place. See, we can't actually take away you. You can't take the ocean, the water out of the ocean, and you can't take ocean out of ocean. It's self-defining, and that's how salvation works: is with your own change of mind, your choice for peace in the midst of a problem. Will expose you to your personal power and you will experience salvation as we're describing in A Course in Miracles. And you will say, bring it on, once you really own it. You will know that there is no end to the peace you can bring you. If you recognize the only reason you don't have it is because of your own thoughts. This is the liberation of enlightenment.
Wow, if you consider yourself like a ship, you can name yourself USS Salvation.
Yeah, you can. You can.
Christen yourself with some champagne.
Yeah. I'm ready.
Yeah. Yeah. Bring it on. Bring on the salvation awakening. Okay? So that's a big sentence right there, but we covered it, right? Okay, 8. He just says it again. It is your purpose. You get another job description.
Wow. One more thing.
Yeah.
Now that I use that metaphor, pilot to co-pilot. Wow, to be on that ship of the salvation ship.
Yes.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Good things happen.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
All aboard.
Yeah. Yeah. And it has to be your purpose, salvation of you, because we said on page 587. Look, there's nobody else, see, that can do it for you. So it's very personal. This is your job. This is your purpose. Here. Is to free you from the nightmare that you made. You've made a nightmare.
Oh man, I'm excited.
There's more. You cannot choose. You cannot choose apart from this. He's using the hammer, hitting the exact same thing again. And why you cannot choose apart from this? Because anytime you choose something that is not for your freedom, you're not actually thinking at all. When you choose guilt, you choose fear. You choose victimhood. You choose death. This is untruth. You can't actually do that. You can lie to yourself. You can pretend that you're choosing the truth. But because you are love, you can't be anything other than that. So when you think that you're not love, that you're not peace and whole, in an extension of God, what you're doing is sleeping and having a nightmare. But just like last night when you slept in your bed and you had all those thoughts about and nothing happened. You woke up and went to work. Good. Okay. Here we go. This brings us into this weekend. You have no purpose apart from your brother. He's actually hitting the same nail again. You have no purpose apart from your brother, nor apart from the one that you asked the Holy Spirit to share with you. Nor from the one you ask the Holy Spirit to share with you. And that's a touch on the holy relationship we've been talking about the last couple of chapters. The little wall will fall away so quietly beneath your wings of peace. For peace will send its messengers from you to all the world, and barriers will fall away before their coming as easily as those that you interpose will be surmounted. This is a promise of peace. The power of peace. Good.
Good.
Okay. I move my marker. Let's have a circle.
I know. Bit of an age difference, but I still use it.
Well, it's not going to happen any other way. Well, it would have, it just wouldn't have been.
Could have been messy.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been pretty.
Could have been a mess.
Breath. Just breathe. There you go. You did it. So the will of God has been followed. The will of God is really that you be free. And you are love, but that's foregone. It is just the truth. That you would be free to know you. God created you. That's what we call Christ. This is the time of Christ this month. And it's just being you as you were created. You can't change that. You can't reinvent it. You can't deny it, and you do a really good job a lot. But the will of God will not be denied. It waits patiently and quietly for you to be you, to extend the will of God. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Hope I see some of you on Sunday.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Yes. So,
very good.
Like, you just automatically advance and you never judge or whatever.
So this is a whole bunch of applicants or just like one?
Lower thing.
I was just going to say, it sounded like...
So it's kind of hilarious. 3 months in. Yeah.